Good morning, everyone, and thank you, David, for leading us through the early part of our service. Here we are again, working our way through this very unusual year. Let me take this opportunity firstly to say thank you to all those who sent greetings for my birthday last week. We managed to celebrate appropriately and legally with some border passes into New South Wales. The weather was great and we had a lovely day. With restrictions easing earlier last week, Loris and I took a drive along the Murray Valley Highway to Cobram, or just past Cobram. Actually, we went to look at a goat, which is as good a reason as any if you need a reason to drive through beautiful northeast Victoria on a sunny day in spring. It was just after that great rain, and the country was looking magnificent. The canola was still flowering, just, and to my untrained eye looked very promising. And close to Cobram, still some blossoms on the peaches, which all started us thinking about our farmers. Maybe this year will be a good year for our farmers, right through to the harvest, right through to beyond the harvest, to when the returns are banked. So many variables. Our farmers can do everything right, but there's still no guarantee of a profitable return for them at the end of the season after all of their hard work and their investment. Other factors remain outside their control. The weather immediately comes to mind. Will there be enough rain? Will it come at the right time? Will it stop coming when we've had all that we need? Can we avoid damaging frosts and hail and thunderstorms? I know from our time growing potatoes, markets were notoriously unreliable. I hope they are a bit more consistent for those on crops these days. It always seemed cruel that when the crops were at their best, prices seemed to be quite low. It takes a strong heart to be a farmer. This morning, we begin a new series looking at some of the parables Jesus gave us. The parable of the sower is one of my favourites. The Jews were an agriculturally based nation. When God promised them blessings, he spoke in terms of bumper yields for their grapevines, vats that were overflowing with wine, and heavily laden olive trees. When God said their disobedience would lead to disaster, he said enemies were going to harvest their grapes. Wild animals would trample their vines or their olives. The summer rains wouldn't come, and locusts would strip bare their crops, their trees, and just about everything else. The Jews lived close to the land, and even those not directly involved with farming saw their fortunes rise and fall along with the farmers. A bit like our country towns in Australia, actually. We're not surprised then that Jesus used farming illustrations in many of the parables he told. The parable of the sower speaks to us today not so much about farming and crops as about evangelism, a topic dear to our hearts, although it often takes a lower place than perhaps it should in our priorities. There are some valuable lessons for us and maybe one or two surprises as we look a little more closely at this well-known story. The gospel never changes. How come the results of our efforts and the efforts of those more skilled in evangelism than we are vary so much? A farmer went out to sow his seed, and Jesus describes four different soil types that this seed fell on. Some of the seed fell on the hard path. Birds swooped down and took it. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. This seed quickly germinated, but the roots couldn't develop, so the new tender plants soon withered in the hot sun. Other seed fell on good ground where weeds competed for the nutrients in the soil. The weeds won. The plants became spindly and they failed to produce. And just when we're starting to feel really sorry for the poor farmer, Jesus tells us that some seed fell on good soil. It grew and produced a crop that met and in some cases exceeded the farmer's expectations. We can imagine the crowd listening as the story unfolded and nodding their heads in agreement. This is what happens. Jesus knows his agriculture. The seed was the same in all four cases. The variable was in the soil. Most of his listeners that day would have left thinking about farming techniques, how to get the best from their crops, how to keep waste down to a minimum. But not the disciples. They didn't know quite what to make of this simple story, but they knew Jesus, and they sensed there was more to it than just a basic lesson in the realities of farming. Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." They all had ears. There had to be a deeper meaning to this story, and they wanted to know it. So when the crowd had gone, they came to Jesus and they asked, not just about this story, why did Jesus always speak to the crowds in parables? They didn't know it at the time, but they had just answered their own question. As disciples, they had already taken up the challenge of following Jesus. They were committed, as opposed to the majority of the crowd that day who were only curious. Jesus responded to them in terms of insiders and outsiders. "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you," he said, "but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." We see this same difference between insiders and outsiders today. We look around us at this magnificent time of the year with new life unfolding, and we see everywhere the hand of our Creator who makes it all happen. Others just want to talk about Mother Nature. The more we read our Bibles and learn about God, the more we get to know him personally, the more things taking place around us make sense in the light of what he shows us. Apparently, it all makes no sense to those on the outside. And we can waste our time, our energy, and our emotion trying to engage those who don't believe with the deeper aspects of our faith. There are truths available to the committed that simply can't be accessed by those just curious. The crowd who left the scene with just the bare story that day showed that they were just curious. The disciples demonstrated their commitment by asking Jesus to explain the deeper significance of the story he'd told them. I find it fascinating that Jesus didn't try to make it easier for the just curious to come into his Father's kingdom. Did he not want them there? Of course he did. But he didn't plead with the crowd that day. He didn't put on a performance. He didn't use his powers of persuasion or draw on his charismatic personality. He told them a story, which probably confused them more than it enlightened them, and then he left it up to them. Those whose hearts were ready to receive the invitation to his kingdom had the opportunity to go deeper. Those not ready could simply walk away. Many did. "Tell us what the story really means," his disciples asked, and Jesus responded. "Seed that fell on the path, made hard by all the traffic, was never going to strike. Birds came and ate it." The path, Jesus said, represents people with hardened, unresponsive hearts. Satan quickly snatches the gospel from them. A few years back, our speaker at district conference was a career missionary who had worked as an evangelist all around the world before returning to Australia. I spoke to him after his message, and he said Australia was by far the most difficult and unresponsive country he'd ever worked in. And he'd lived and worked in Asia and Europe and America. Why is this? What is it about Australia and Australians that makes us so hard to reach with the gospel? Well, we don't like being told. We don't respond well to authority. Maybe it's our convict origins. We tend to be sceptical by nature. Many Australians seem to have embraced the new atheism popularised by the likes of Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens. Apathy is always a factor, and the enemy does well in that kind of environment. Shallow soil is great for germinating seeds and very poor for growing plants. Many of us have known people who have responded quickly, joyfully, enthusiastically to Jesus. Often they are our young people, but older people too sometimes respond this way. And we hold our breath. They are full on and fervent for a time. And then it seems they hit the wall. Something goes wrong. Life gets tough or sad. Why didn't God shield me from all this? Another Christian lets them down. I thought Christians were supposed to care for each other. Soon they abandon the life they had embraced so eagerly. So sad. I can clearly remember someone like this. This person made such a good start, but wilted when life became hard. Then there are the weeds. Now, technically, this isn't really a soil type, and there's a warning here for us all. This was good, fertile soil. Seed here germinated and was growing well when the weeds emerged. Our farmers and gardeners are all too familiar with this scenario. Do nothing, and the weeds quickly take over. Wild radish in our potatoes gobbled up the nutrients and sucked dry all the water. We could deal with the radish, or we could forget about a crop. Did you note this morning the particular weeds that Jesus identified in his explanation to the disciples? The worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, a desire for other things. Did Jesus really tell this story 2,000 years ago? These are the same weeds that threaten to undermine us today and make us unproductive and even suffocate us spiritually. Springtime is a great time for weeds. What about your life as a Christian? Are the worries of this world starting to grow? Have you become preoccupied with material things and the money you need to buy them? Have other things begun to distract you and take over your priorities? The best time to deal with a weed is whenever you see it. Ignore it for a moment and it doubles in size, and then it drops seeds. Some of the sower's precious seed fell on good soil. Thank goodness. This was why the sower invested his resources in the first place. This seed germinated, the healthy plant grew, and produced a good crop, as healthy plants always do, according to God's design. It's a great story. It offers both a promise and a challenge as we consider it in the light of our times, and the culture today. Jesus has called us to make disciples for his Father's kingdom. If we're honest, we're a bit disappointed, maybe even a little despondent, that Australia seems to be slipping backwards when it comes to our part in God's kingdom. Other places seem to be doing a whole lot better. What can we do? Let me briefly suggest three things in the light of this parable. Here they are. Prepare the soil. Sow freely. Don't push. Let me repeat those three. Prepare the soil. Sow freely. Don't push. As a potato grower, there was no point in me whinging that the soil was too hard and the potatoes wouldn't grow. Soil preparation was my responsibility, and much time and effort and diesel went into working the ground prior to planting. I think that analogy holds true when it comes to sharing our faith. It's certainly what Jesus did. He responded with compassion when he saw someone in need. He spent time with people. He spoke kindly to them. He showed them he cared. Now, he intervened miraculously on their behalf when this was appropriate. Not many of us seem able to do that these days. But there is much that we can do. Sometimes just being there in difficult times can make a real difference, and just showing we care can go a long way to softening hearts that have grown hard. Is God prompting you to reflect his love by caring for a friend or a family member or a work colleague who is not a Christian? This parable reminds us that we should sow freely. While soil preparation is important, we are simply unable to know with any great accuracy how receptive a particular person might be at any given time. And it's not as though we've been given a finite quantity of seed. Could we all be a little bolder in putting it out there that we are Christians? When the person on the checkout asks you what you did on the weekend, why not tell them that you went to church? Or you sat at home in front of the TV while your church came to you? I had an opportunity like this when I had my ankle arthroscopy. The form I had to fill in at reception gave me some boxes to tick for my title, which included Reverend. Now, I have mixed feelings about the title, and I'm much happier generally just to be known as Alan. But you don't often see this box offered, so that day I ticked it. Well, when it came my turn to be admitted, the woman at reception announced in a very loud voice, "Reverend Ackers, please. Reverend Ackers." The whole waiting room at this point knew I was a Christian, even if they didn't know how to pronounce my surname properly. Later, after surgery, I shared a room with a young man who had destroyed his Achilles playing basketball. It turned out he was a Christian too, so no need for evangelism. But we had some great conversations across the room. All I did was tick a box. Quite likely, neither of us would have known the other was a Christian if I hadn't. Put it out there. God has a way of making introductions when we let him know that we're available. And we don't have to push. Jesus showed us this too. Being his disciple requires real commitment. He provided an opportunity. He sowed a seed. He didn't push. In fact, his parables were calculated to draw those who had the potential to be committed while holding back those who were just indifferent. When the man we know as the rich young ruler pressed Jesus about becoming a disciple, Jesus knew that his great wealth would be a barrier. And he said, "Give it all away." When the young man walked away sadly, Jesus didn't try to stop him. He didn't suggest a compromise. He let him go. I'm sure Jesus was sad too, but he didn't push. Now, I'm a good Wesleyan Arminian. I firmly believe it's God's desire that everybody comes to faith in him and that Jesus' sacrifice is more than sufficient to cover the sins of the whole world. But John Calvin was no dummy, and he rightly reminds us that God is sovereign, that he knows best, that he knows all, and that evangelism is his responsibility before it ever becomes yours and mine. We have a part to play, but it's only a part, and for any given person, it may be just a small part in planting a seed or helping the plant to grow. I saw that a few years ago. After our national conference in Warwick, Queensland, I caught a coach coming down from Brisbane at about 10 o'clock at night. Virtually the first words the man I sat next to said to me were, "The guy sitting here before you was really religious." Now, I'm sure I've missed opportunities at times, but this one was just so obvious. This man had been to see his kids in Brisbane after a messy divorce, and he was feeling pretty sad returning to Sydney without them. The man before me had been working on a mission in Darwin and had shared his story with him. Now it was my turn, and we talked about matters of faith during the night until we both got off and went our separate ways in Sydney. I probably should have got his contact details, but I didn't. So I don't know what became of him after that, but God does, and he is sovereign. Jesus invites, he doesn't push. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And he offers a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. He gives us an ample supply of seed, and he asks us to pass on his invitation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple story that Jesus gave, a story that he told us with such profound and deep meaning. Thank you for the reality demonstrated in our own lives. Thank you for planting that seed within us. Thank you for those who assisted us during those times when we were young in our faith. Father, this morning we would take to heart the lessons that we've found there. Lead us to the people with whom you want us to share something of your love for them. Help us to be good, valuable sowers of your seed. And may that precious seed take root, spring to life, grow to be fruitful in the lives of those who hear it. This would be our prayer for ourselves this week, Father. Lead us to the people that you want us to share with, and give us that sense of boldness under your Holy Spirit's direction as we do this. Bless us and be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.